Hello, everyone out there. This is Peter Harris from Commercial Property Advisors, author of the book, Commercial Real Estate Investing for Dummies, and coach and mentor to many commercial real estate investors all across this great nation of ours. The title and subject of today's podcast is,
Are you struggling with the money to buy your first commercial property? This topic right here is absolutely number one on the minds of brand new beginning commercial real estate investors. So if this is you, you're probably wondering, do I have enough money to buy my first commercial property? You're also wondering, if I don't have enough money, what do I do? And there are options. And number three, where do I get the money in the first place to buy my first commercial property? So I'm going to answer those three questions. Here are the six ways to fund your first commercial property. All right, here we are with method number one. Now, before I get started, along the way here, if you have any questions for me, you can go ahead and text Peter to 833-942-4516. Ask us any questions along the way, because I'm going to share with you a lot of detail in these six ways to fund your first commercial deal. All right, method number one is to use bank financing. I'm going to keep it simple and then break it down from there. And this is you. You have the money, you have the down payment yourself, you go to the bank, and then the bank funds your deal. Okay, easy peasy. Now, I'm going to break it down with a real deal. This is a real deal of ours that closed a few months ago. So Ken is our student, engineer, and family guy. Ken had no experience. So how do you get a commercial size multifamily loan with zero experience? People will say, oh, Peter, that's incredible. No, it's not. Because we know how to get exceptions. So the deal was a 24-unit apartment building. The purchase price is $1.2 million. Remember, this is his first deal. He was able to get loan terms of 80% loan to value. That means he put down 20%. Interest rate, 6.75% interest rate. Pretty good for recent loan terms. Not too bad. 25-year amortization and a 7-7 ARM. What that means is with a typical commercial deal, commercial lenders don't like to go out 30 years. And when you buy a single family home, it's 30-year loan fixed. Here, it's fixed for 7 years, and then every 7 years, it adjusts. All right, that's the difference between commercial loan and a residential loan. This loan is recourse. Recourse means, like, when you buy a single family home, if you fail, the bank comes after you. Same thing here. So recourse means you're personally guaranteeing the loan. Now that Ken has experience, when he refinances and gets a new loan, more than $1 million, it will probably be non-recourse, is what you really want. That means there's no personal guarantee. So the property can fail and it can't come after you. That's how the big boys play. All right. The key thing here is Ken used one of our loan brokers from our vendor network. We have a software platform, and there's a vendor network of all our preferred loan brokers. Ken basically used our name, and he was able to get this exception, okay, to get this loan with no experience. All right, so that is bank financing. Let's go on to number two, which is creative financing, which is also one of my favorite topics and favorite ways to buy commercial property. And I believe that we are the best in the business in doing just that. And so we'll start here. This is you. You don't have the money or enough money, or you have bad credit. So if this is you, you need to listen very carefully. All right, I'm going to share with you two real deals for my two students here. The first student name is Jacob. He bought a 90-unit apartment building with no money down. How did he do that? Well, first of all, Jacob was a wholesaler, meaning that we have students coming into our program as wholesalers because they don't have the down payment. They want to wholesale commercial real estate to build up their savings so they can save up for a down payment. That's what Jacob was doing. And Jacob, using our marketing methods, found an off-market deal, a 90-unit apartment building right where he went to college, okay? And we end up finding him a partner because Jacob didn't have the money. So this partner funded the entire deal. It was very creative. In fact, the partner put up very little money, and they made Jacob a 33% owner, and Jacob is making $6,000 a month today. And he owns a third of the property, didn't even have to sign on a loan. Okay, he's a third owner, and this property has almost doubled in value since they took ownership. Now, Jacob is working at the property, he's working his butt off, but he's only 26, 27 years old, but now he's worth millions of dollars. So that's the potential if you know what you're doing creative-wise. And secondly, we have Dean. Dean used one of my favorite techniques to buy commercial real estate without banks, or if you don't have money or bad credit. And so this is called a master lease agreement, okay? So Dean was basically, he came to us as a burnt out corporate executive. He was in sales, he was really just burnt out. And he said, Peter, I can no longer do this. I'm middle-aged now, need to do something different. Well, make a long story short, we had Dean go out and again, look for off-market deals. He ended up finding a 119,000 square foot storage facility in his town. And he ended up buying it for $2.2 million with 10% down and for 5 years, a five-year deal. Fast forward 3 years later, a buyer approached him, a institutional buyer with an offer that was too good to pass up. So today, Dean is selling his property for $4.4 million. So Dean is going to make an over $2 million profit in about 3 years using creative financing. He didn't have to go to the bank. All right. So number two is creative financing. You must learn how to do that, especially in today's environment. Let's move on to way number three, and it's called syndication. Syndication means to pull money together to buy a property. And you're going to use private money. This is money from individuals, and OPM, other people's money. We have a video on that too. If you don't watch that, just search our YouTube channel. Now, here's the situation. This is you. You don't have all the money for the down payment, or you want to leverage what you currently have. I'll explain this in a second. Here are the top three reasons you may want to syndicate. Number one, obviously, it helps you get the down payment if you're short. Number two, it helps you leverage yourself into more deals. So if you have the savings right here, but you don't want to use your entire savings on one deal, you can use this much of your savings as a down payment and get from investors the other part, and then take another part of your savings for another deal, and then another part of your savings for another deal. So when you syndicate a deal, it's not credit dependent, it is deal dependent. We spend an enormous amount of time with our students on qualifying deals if it's good enough to include an investor. When you include an investor on your team, everything changes, everything, responsibility, returns, deal structure, exit strategy, all that changes, and you have to know what you're doing. We teach our students how to do all that. All right, so our students here, wonderful students here, husband and wife team, they are now, by the way, full-time commercial estate investors, and they found a deal, and they had their investor put up 50% of the down payment. The reason they did that, because they had all the money, but they didn't want to use it all in one deal. So they recruited an investor, and they put half of the down payment in themselves and got another investor. He puts the other half. But Takashi and Ray, our students, maintained a high majority ownership. So we taught them that because you know how to do this, you are worthy of taking more than half. And they believed it, and they executed on it. All right, so they're doing great. So that is syndication. What I want to do next is move on to the fourth way to fund your first commercial property. It is using a HELOC, which is a home equity line of credit. And you, I'm sure you know what that is. Your home is worth $400,000. You owe $100,000. So you have $300,000 worth of equity that you can borrow against and take out and use as cash for a down payment. So here's you. This is you. You have equity in your home, or if you have separate homes, you can get a HELOC. So I want to be a responsible mentor for you. If you have equity in your home and you want to take it out to buy your first commercial property or anything else, don't take it out if you don't have a coach or help or a bunch of advisors around you to help you use it properly and execute the right deals. I do not want you to lose your money. So make sure that you have expert help on your side when you do this. This is your home. Got it? Now, here's the question. Let's say you do have equity in your home. The question is, what is the return on the equity in your home? Is the equity just sitting there? If it's just sitting there, it's not earning anything. Get the knowledge, get the help from us, and go ahead and use the equity to start building or buying your first commercial property. Okay, so the question is, what is return on your equity in your home? Put it to use in a smart way. I'm gonna share with you a real deal from one of our students. This is Dave, a truck driver, really cool, awesome guy. He built a $6 million multifamily portfolio in Northern California, which is one of the toughest markets in the entire country to do. And he did it part-time because he drove trucks at night. It took him 5 years to do this. 5 years. Commercial real estate, multifamily is not a fly-by-night business. It's not a get-rich-quick business. It's get-rich over time. So over 5 years, we coached Dave through a disciplined and focused approach on building this $6 million portfolio. It takes time. Commercial real estate is a long game, but it's very lucrative if you can execute over a long period of time. So he started, Dave started off with a HELOC. So if Dave can do it, you can do it. So basically what he did was he used his HELOC to buy his first property, and then his first property, he refinanced, paid off the HELOC, and then bought another property, and then he raised the rents on that one, took the money out, paid off the HELOC, and did it again over and over again for the next 5 years until he built this $6 million portfolio. By the way, it brings in over $600,000 a year in rental income. Amazing, amazing. All right, that's using a HELOC. That is method number four. Here is the fifth way to fund your first commercial property. It is with a retirement account. Here's you, here's your personal situation. You have a retirement account, it has money in it, and you want to use that account to start buying commercial real estate as a retirement vehicle. But here's the big question, and it is a big question. What do you do if you were to cash in? You're gonna have to pay the penalties. How do you deal with that? And if you cash in, you're gonna have to pay income taxes. How do you deal with that? I'm gonna answer that by going through this real deal with our students. This is Eric and Maria. They are CPAs, very smart people, financial professionals, and they are very saddened by their stock market returns. Sound familiar? All right, so they knew that just by investing in the stock market, they're not going to be able to build wealth. So they called us and said, hey, Peter, we have all this money in our retirement account. How do we do this? How do we cash in and then buy commercial estate, but not have to be so concerned about the penalties and the taxes? Here's what we had them do. So they cashed in their retirement account and they bought commercial real estate. They bought multifamily in their area, but they didn't buy just any property. They used what we call our three pillars in commercial real estate investing. Here are the three pillars. Number one, you want to be able to buy a property that's priced on the market. That is very difficult these days. And we do that by taking our students off market. We don't use the MLS or LoopNet. We go direct to the property owner. Those are where the best deals are. Number two, you have to find a property where the rents are under market. And as from all my videos, as you raise the rents, you force the appreciation upward, and it gives you options of selling and buying a larger property, cash out, refinancing, all that. So that's the second pillar. The third pillar is to be in a good neighborhood. To be able to raise the rents and have a property be worth more, it must be in a good neighborhood. So those are the three pillars that we had Eric and Maria do, as well as all of our students. All right, now here's how we mitigated the penalties they have to pay for cashing in and the additional income taxes they have to pay for cashing in. We have them perform a cost segregation study. Cost segregation is basically where you can rapidly depreciate your property. It's what I call hidden cash flow to mitigate any type of penalties and taxes you're going to pay. In this case, for each property that Eric and Maria bought, where they had to pay taxes and penalties, they were able to, on year one, save over $60,000 per property. That's huge. Now, Eric and Maria, they are on their fourth deal with us, funded by their retirement account. Again, if they can do it, you can do it. All right, that's number five. Let's go to once and for all, number six. The sixth way to fund your first commercial property deal is with a 1031 exchange. This is where you have to sell your single family home, and then you're gonna take the proceeds and you're gonna buy a larger property. If you do that strategically and correctly, you can do this without paying any capital gains taxes. So here's you. you have a single family rental, not a single family home that you live in, but this is a rental and it has equity in it. And this is exactly what I did many years ago to build my portfolio to what it is today. I started off with selling some of my single family homes and bought multifamily. I fixed those up, raised the rents, and then sold those, and then bought larger properties and so forth throughout the years. So remember, commercial real estate is a long game. This is how you make a whole lot of money over time. Now, let's say this is you. You're not happy with the performance of your single family rental. Maybe it's not producing enough cash flow. Maybe you continue to have problems with the property and it takes all your cash flow and you can't get ahead. And you can see it's not getting you to what the purpose was to get you to financial freedom. And you're having problems getting there with your single family. So what you can do is you can sell your single family home and you can do what we call a 1031 exchange. This is where you can, again, you can defer or avoid paying capital gains taxes if you do it the right way and buy a larger property. Here's the process. You're going to sell your single family home. It has equity. Then you're going to take your sales proceeds or your profits and buy a larger property, larger in value. You can go from a single family home into a multifamily. You can buy a storage facility. You can buy a mobile home park. You can buy a warehouse. It must be like kind. It must be real estate. And then you must adhere to the strict timelines if you were to do a 1031 exchange. The timelines are the moment you sell your single family rental, you have 45 days to identify what you want to buy. And then thereafter, you have 135 additional days to close on your deal. So you have a 6 month or 180 days to complete this and try transactions with those timelines. If you don't, if you fail any of those two, you're going to have to pay capital gains taxes. So it's a very strict timelines. And the other thing you have to do is you have to use a 1031 exchange company to do this. They will hold the money per the IRS and they will dole out the money when you find your deal. They'll do the entire transaction. You just can't use just any old plain title company. You have to use a 1031 exchange company. Now, if you were to do this strategy strategically over time, this is how the big boys play. They will buy a small investment property. They'll fix it up. They'll sell it. Instead of paying the taxes, they're going to buy a larger property, do a 1031 exchange, do the same thing with that one. They'll buy it, fix it up, make it worth more, do a 1031 exchange. Over years, you can go from a single family home to a very huge commercial property portfolio. This is how the big boys play and have done it. All right, there's the sixth way. If you hung out this long with me, you are absolutely my favorite. And if you have any questions, go ahead and text Peter to 833-942-4516. We want to hear from you. If you want to do what our students did, you can apply to be one of our mentees and you can work directly with me and our other coaches. All right, everyone, thank you so much.